You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Good to see a good turnout today. The evidence of, as we mentioned last week, evidence of summer is really with us. And I hope all of you are bearing up under the heat. Oh, everyone has air conditioner working. So let's go to our scripture and for the scripture reading, which is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to this, the reading of your holy word, because we do ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
Good to see you all. It looks like the left side's a little heavy today. You know, it changes. You know, sometimes it's the right side, sometimes it's the left side. One of these days we'll be all balanced out. It's good to be back. It's good to see you. I hope God's got a good message for you today, and I hope I can present it well enough that you understand it. We'll just leave the rest of it in His hands. Let's pray. Father, we thank you as you bless this time and our fellowship, and our meeting together, Father, around the Word and worship of song and praise and study, that we, Father, might find approval in your sight, that we might glorify your Son who loved us and has given His life for us. We thank you for these blessings, Father. As you meet the need that each heart has, and as we learn to be more subjected to you and trusting in you and faithful to you and all that we do, say, or think. And we thank you, Father, as you meet these needs in Christ Jesus. We pray these things in His name. Amen. Well, in Timothy, we see something that I am going to use as a springboard. I'm going to get over to Ephesians. You know we've been doing a study in Ephesians now for several months. But in Timothy, I want you to look at this real quick, because God brought this to my attention when we were in St. Louis and I was doing some early morning studies. And I particularly want to look at verse 4, 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Notice that there are two things that are spoken of here. One is that God's will is that all men should be saved. And the second thing is that they should come to the knowledge of truth. If it were one thing, God would say, it is my will that men are saved, coming to the knowledge of truth. But it's two things because there's a conjunction. It's like a peanut and butter, or peanut butter and jelly sandwich. It's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I know a kid who used to grow up and say, Mama, can I have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without the peanut butter? All you got's a jelly sandwich. It's not a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And what we have here is we have a sandwich, because in this chapter, if you study it, and we're not going to look at it today, this chapter begins with society and the idea that we're to pray for people who are in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceful life. That's one slice of bread. The other slice of bread is the family. The family, the husband, in verse 6, lifting up his hands, his holy hands in prayer, going to work without wrath and doubting, and women adorning themselves with godliness. It's a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But you've got to have the peanut butter and the jelly to make it a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. God's desire. It's not His will, because He doesn't impose His will on us. This is the word thelo, T-H-E-L-O, this word in verse 4. Who will? Will. It's an emotional desire that comes out of the heart. It's His desire, His heart's desire, that every man and woman would be saved. He doesn't impose His will on us. We see a distinction in that in verse 8. I will, that's Paul, I will, mental, deliberation, consideration, I will, therefore, that men pray. It's not the same. One's an emotion that comes from the heart that doesn't impose its will on anybody, but it's its desire. And I know you understand that. I know you know what that means. There's a separation there. There's a distinction there that we need to know about. It's not God imposing His will on us, but it's His call to every man, woman, child to come to a saving knowledge because there's a disease in man today, a heart disease. But we'll get to that. And I want you to keep in mind this word will in verse 4. It's God's will. It's His desire that all men be saved. Because we're going to look at that again in a minute in relation to the first article of armor that God has given to us. The first article of armor. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 6 and pay attention to this. In Ephesians chapter 6. Now this, it's Northside Bible Church, I've said it a bunch of times. We're going to look at a lot of passages. You know, you go to the restaurant and you see the menu, and on the menu there's the items that are marked light. You know, and you get a lighter portion. You don't get the full benefit of the full meal. There's a guy that went to the restaurant and he said, "Well, I'd like to know a little bit more about this light meatloaf." And the guy said, "Well, our light menu is the same as our regular menu. We just take your plate away from you a little earlier." You're not going to get that here. You can go to another church and you'll get that, and you can rest well on the milk. But today we're going to lay out the full meat, and we do it every Sunday here at Northside Bible Church. We do it every Sunday. You know there's a war going on. If you're there in Ephesians chapter 6, God says in verse 13, "Take unto you the whole armor of God." The whole armor of God. If there weren't a war going on, we wouldn't need armor. And God wouldn't encourage us to take on the whole armor of God. So there's a warfare going on. And I wonder, do you know that? Are you aware that there's a war going on? Why is there a war going on? Look at the rest of the verse. "That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand." There is a war going on today, and many of God's people don't know it. The rest of the world doesn't know it. Reminds me of the boss that took his employee out hunting. And the employee had been telling the boss all the time. He said, "You know, there's just a war going on. There's a spiritual war going on." And the boss finally told him, he said, "You know, you talk about a spiritual war going on all the time." And he said, "I don't know of any spiritual war that's going on." And the employee looked at the boss and he said, "Well, boss, if we shot ducks, you shot one and you killed it, and you shot another and you wounded it, which one would you go after first?" And he thought, "Well, I'd go after the wounded one." "That's right, boss, because you're a dead duck already. There's no need for Satan to go after you. He's going after the one that's not dead. If you're not involved in the war, if you're not involved in the warfare, and you don't know that you're experiencing it, then maybe you're a dead duck." There's a war going on today. I've got a friend that I know, young man who knows there's a war going on. He's felt the winds that are blowing across America, and it's blowing across our society and into our families, and he's experiencing the destruction and the despair and the demise of this war. His wife of 15 years has left him and their two children. He knows there's a war going on. Do you know there's a war going on? There's a war going on today. We see it in so many areas of life. We need to be attentive to it. We need to be aware of it. We need to have ears that hear and eyes that see. The enemy wants to kill and steal and destroy. That's what our Lord said. And Satan is a real enemy. Are you aware of the battle? Are you aware that there's a war going on in society today and in our families, and that these winds are destructive? They're trying to destroy everything that has godliness attached to it. We're seeing it in our schools. We're seeing it in our government institutions. We're seeing it, God forbid, even in our churches today. You got your bulletin? Look on the back side. Champ does such a good job with our bulletin. Look on this bulletin. Look at it. It says Religion Today. He's copied something that's come down from this past week. I'll just read the first paragraph, and I probably won't need to say anything else. "Episcopalians have officially acknowledged gay couples for the first time, but they've stopped short of blessing same-sex unions." Oh, hallelujah. Glory be. That's next. It's the next thing to fall. Because there's a war going on. There's a war going on, and God's people don't know it. They're afraid to stand in this day that's evil. And that's what Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. God has given us the armor, and He's called us to stand in the evil day. God wants you to know that there's a war going on. He wants you to be able to stand in this evil day, the onslaught of the enemy. He wants you to be prepared. Think how evident the war is. You know, just think, everybody here knows somebody who's suffering. Don't you? You know someone who's suffering. You know someone who's having marital problems. You know them. You see them. They fight. They bicker. They argue. They disagree. They don't get along. They're not pleasant to be around. But there's a war going on. And then all of a sudden, you see the ugly silence, the ignoring of one another. You know what's going to happen. Separation comes next. Then there's divorce. There's a war going on. It's not just in the family. It's everywhere in society. It permeates everything that we see and everything that we read. It's all around us. It's drugs and it's alcohol and it's addictions to sex and pornography. You know the most number one question asked on the internet today is sex. Where is sex? It permeates every facet of our life. We have a member of our Department of Human Services last week who was arrested because of child pornography. It's in everything that we read. It's on our TVs. It's in our movies. It's in our magazines. And yet we don't know there's a war going on. Maybe we're dead ducks. But what good is it to know and not do anything about it? That's the other aspect of it. Oh yeah, there's a war going on and the church has been silent for so many years and divorce went from having institutionalized requirements before it could be granted to a thing that we now call no-fault divorce or incompatibility. I don't like the way she does the ironing. I don't like the way he hangs the towel up in the bathroom. We just don't get along, Your Honor. And Christians for too long have been silent. And they've been quiet. And they haven't stood. And they need to stand. We need godly people. Godly men and women standing up in this warfare. That God has given us the ability to do that. Now look at verse 10. Of this same chapter. You can't do it in your own power and your own strength. Jeremiah said over there in chapter 9 that if the rich man should not glory in his riches, or the mighty man glory in his strength, or the wise man glory in his wisdom, because it's nothing. It's foolishness to God. It's foolishness to Satan. But God has given us the strength whereby we must stand. God tells us in verse 10, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, not in your own strength, but in the strength of the Lord." You wives, you mothers, you've got daughters who look at you and they say, "Oh, mommy, I want to be, when I grow up, as pretty and as wise as you are." And you fathers, you've got sons that look at you and say, "Daddy, when I grow up, I want to be as big and as strong as you are." Don't sit there and agree with that. Because your wisdom, mom, and your strength, Dad, is not enough to overcome the enemy that they face and are going to face. Teach them to turn to the Lord. Tell them, "Oh, honey, you're getting prettier every day. But if you want to be wise, be not wise in your own conceit, but be wise in the Lord. Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." And fathers, don't sit there and tell your sons, "Oh, yeah, you're a big boy." Tell him he's getting bigger every day. But tell him if he wants to really be strong, to what? Be strong in the Lord. To be strong in the Lord. Now, I don't have to tell you. How are you wise and strong in the Lord? You already know what those spiritual vitamins are. You need to be taking them every day. You feed those children every day with the food that nourishes their needs in this fleshly body. Are you feeding them the spiritual vitamins that they need every day with prayer and Bible study and scripture memorization and fellowship and witnessing and worship? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Why? Look at verse 11. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We're not to be ignorant of the devil's devices. We're to be very much aware of what his tactics are and his strategy. He's a liar from the beginning, and he is the father of lies, our Lord said in John chapter 8. There's a war going on. But it's not a war that's between you and me. It's not a war between flesh and blood. Look at verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. There's a war going on, and Satan's got an army, and Satan's got his own armor. You know that? Satan's got, I don't know what it is. I don't think we know what it is. I just remember reading it. It's in Luke chapter 11. Turn over there, Luke chapter 11. I know that he's got his armor because my Lord said it in Luke chapter 11. I'm just thinking about a guy that went down to join the Marines. And when he went to admissions, you know, where they get their placement and physical exams, they were there with all the other candidates that were going to be joining the armed services. And as he sat there, he heard one fellow say to the other, he said, "Now the Marines, aren't they just a department of the Navy?" And the man's reply was, "Yeah, they're the men's department." You have got to be a man in this army because you are facing a foe who's very strong. Look at here in verse 18 of chapter 11 of Luke. Luke 11, 18. "If Satan be divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say that I cast out demons through Beelzebub. And if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. But if I, with the finger of God, cast out demons, no doubt the kingdom of God has come upon you. When a strong man armed keeps his palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his armor in which he trusted and divided his spoils." Satan's got armor. I don't know what the armor is, but I think it's probably summed up for us over in 1 John. We're not going to go there, but it's the lust of the eyes, and it's the lust of the flesh, and it's the pride of life that we carry in this old man. That's not part of the new man, which is after holiness and godliness, the new man. Come back to Ephesians chapter 6. There's a war going on, and God wants you to be able to stand against this enemy. He's given us armor. We have a real foe. There's a battle going on. Do you know? Do you know? It's not something that God's caught off guard about. God's never been caught off guard. There's not anything that surprises God. He's not caught by surprise. When Lucifer rebelled, God wasn't caught off guard. When Adam failed, God wasn't caught off guard. When mankind united, God wasn't caught off guard. And when the kingdom was divided, God wasn't caught off guard. Nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing is beyond the scope of his eyes, and nothing is beyond the reach of his hand. Everything is in the purpose of his plan. Nothing catches him by surprise. That's his omniscience. He knows everything. He knows everything. Have you ever thought about that? He knows everything there is to know about you. He knows what your thoughts are. He knows what you do. He knows what you say. He even knows the words that are in your mouth before you ever even speak it. He's never caught off guard. There's nothing takes him by surprise. Nothing. There's nothing hidden from him. How could anything be hidden from him who is the great I Am? How could anything be hidden from him who is the great I Am? He who made the galaxy. He who spun the stars into existence. He who is the creator of heaven and earth. How could anything be hidden from him? Do you think you're hiding something from him? Do you think that there's anything in your life that you could keep hidden from him? Oh, don't be a fool. You're playing into the hands of the devil. You're a dead duck. He knows everything. He knows your every word. He knows your every thought. He knows your every deed. He is, it says in Colossians, before all things, and by him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Who is that? That's this man we read about. the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He knows everything. He knows everything. He knows what's in your heart. You think you're hiding something in your heart? And God doesn't know it? He knows what's in your heart. See, that's a problem with man. He has a heart disease. He has a heart disease. Somehow, some way, something is terribly wrong with the heart of man. As Einstein once said, there will never be permanent peace. Man will never have peace until you change man. Man must be saved. And that's the first part of the scripture that we read this morning. It is God's desire that all men be saved. The second part of that scripture is that all men come to the knowledge of the truth. The truth that God has given to us. It just doesn't come to us because we are saved. But salvation is the first thing that we must have before we can ever acknowledge the truth. See, that's what Christ came to do. Christ came to save man. He came to change the heart of men and women. And only He can do that. Who can know the heart? Who can know the heart? Do you know your own heart? You know that Jeremiah says that the heart is deceitful above all things. There's not anything less deceitful or more deceitful than the heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. Who can know it? Verse 10 says, I, the Lord, searcheth the heart. He knows the heart. He tests the conscience of man, and He's ready to give to every man according to his work. Who can know the heart? Man has a heart disease. And God has met the need of that heart disease in Christ. And your salvation is what gives you a new heart. It makes you a new man. It makes you a new woman. It allows you now to be able to know and have knowledge of the truth. And see, that's what in verse 14 is the first item or equipment that God gives us. Look at verse 14 of Ephesians chapter 6. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth. Loins girded about with truth. The loins, the middle part. The girdle was the thing that held all the armor and pieces and everything together on the man. But it's the first thing here. It was the last thing in the Roman army that a Roman soldier would put on because it would tie everything in together in place. But here God gives it to us first because we first need the girdle of truth. We need to be girded about by truth. There's two things we're going to learn here about truth. The first thing is that God has given us all truth. And the second thing is that there's not any more truth to be given. God has given us truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so even as He is the living Word, He is the truth, so is the written Word. In John chapter 17, He said, Father, sanctify them with Thy Word, for Thy Word is truth. Poor Pilate. He didn't have the patience of a hummingbird. He says, what is truth? As he stood before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth and turned immediately around and walked away. How different are we than Pilate? Have you spent time in this book? Have you studied this word of truth? Are you sanctified by it? This is the building stone upon which your home must be built, or the winds of destruction and despair and demise will destroy it. You know, destruction's easy. How about despair? I think about despair. You know, when things happen to you and you can't do anything about it, you despair. I despair. That's fear. That's fear because I what can be done? What can be done when you find out you have cancer? What can be done when you find out your child is drugged out on an overdose of cocaine or heroin? What can be done when you lose a loved one? We spent yesterday at a memorial service and a wedding, the beginning of a marriage and the end of a marriage. What a paradox. I sat there at the wedding and I thought, here we're seeing the beginning of a union that we saw just hours before had been terminated. Emotion. The winds of destruction and despair and demise are blowing across our country today, and God's people don't know how to stand. They haven't built their home on that rock, on that building stone, which is Christ. And it's just not that. It's those who do know Him don't get to know Him better. I've always said there's two things Satan wants to do. He wants to keep those who don't know God, who have no relation with Him through Christ Jesus, from ever getting to know Him. The second thing he wants to do, that's Satan, the second thing he wants to do is to keep those who know God from getting to know Him better. Do you remember in our reading today it said it's God's will that men be saved, all men be saved, and come to the knowledge of truth? The two things that Satan has against God's people, God has provided for His people. Salvation and knowledge of the truth, so that you're not tossed to and fro like little children with every wind of doctrine and the cunning craftiness and the slyness of evil men. We laughed at dinner Friday night. You ever talking about couldn't get to sleep? And Saturday morning, I woke up at 3 o'clock and couldn't get back to sleep until 5:30. It's funny, we laughed about it, and then that night it happened. You ever done that? I thought at dinner that night, somebody had suggested, well, just pray. Just start praying. You'll be asleep like that. I have to admit, it's true. It's happened to me. Not every time. Because sometimes when I'm praying, my mind begins to wander, and I begin to think about trimming the hedge, mowing the yard. Did I get that last appraisal report done? Where's my next one going to come from? You guys have those problems. You know what I'm talking about. You know, the laundry and the dishes and the children. And how am I going to be in two places at once? And when I'm not anywhere at all, I'm just laying here in bed. I can't go back to sleep. Have you ever tried to read this book and then all of a sudden your eyes just go... Well, what do? Well, you put the book down, turn the TV on, entertainment. But you're not being prepared for the battle. You're not being equipped for the war. You know, where is that passage? There it is, right behind me. Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed, given by God, inspired by Him, written by men, but it's the infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's going to be the next item of equipment we get, the breastplate of righteousness. But notice this Word of God. It's in order that the man of God may be perfect and completely equipped. Do you fall asleep reading this book? Do your eyes get heavy? Who do you think's causing that? You're in a warfare. Who do you think caused my friend's divorce? Who do you think caused that child's destruction in drugs or alcohol or sex? Who do you think's engineering all this immorality that's going on in America today? Do you think it's just Bill Clinton? Do you think it's just because somebody decided in a Supreme Court decision we can't pray in school anymore, and we can't read the Ten Commandments in school anymore, and we can't read the Bible in school anymore? There's not nine people sitting up there in the Supreme Court. There's an enemy out there. There's a battle going on. Are you a dead duck? Are you a wounded duck? There's something else, too. God's given us truth. We not only have the living Word in Christ, we have the written Word. Thy Word, He said, is truth. And the truth that God has given us is truth for today. It's the marching orders that He's given to us. We need to know what that is. That's what we need to wrap as a girdle round about us and holding us together and holding us tight. Because it is eventually going to have to be wrapped in with every piece of the armor that we have. Or else we'll be like David. We'll be putting on armor that we don't know how to handle. When Saul gave to David, who was going to go fight Goliath, his armor, it was not armor that he was acquainted with. He wasn't familiar with it. He didn't have the girdle of truth about that armor to wrap around it. But David was smart. He put that armor aside and he went and picked up what God had given him. Smooth stones from a running creek. But God has given us truth. God has given it to us in this Word. And He's not giving us any more words. I don't care what they say up in Salt Lake City. The Book of Mormon is a lie. I don't care what the Pope says over in Rome. Anything that he gets from God is not an edict from God. It's from his own imagination. And I don't care what the faith healer says down the street when he gets some new revelation. God's not given new revelation. Okay, I've got 10 minutes. We can do this. We can't. All right, now you got to know that God gives progressive revelation. And Champ covered some of this last week. I heard him. He did a good job. You've got to know what is truth for today. You know, one of the easiest ones, and I want you to turn to Luke chapter 9, one of the easiest ones to figure out is that God didn't let man eat meat. When He made the garden, He told Adam, everything that's in this garden is for you to eat. It's your meat, but it wasn't anything that had flesh on it. It was all the seed and the herbs of the tree and the plants. I hope Luke 9 is right. I only got 10 minutes. Uh-oh, it doesn't look right to me. I know I shouldn't do this. It is Luke 9. I'm sorry. Luke 9, verse 3. Now, here's a... When Noah built the ark and God caused a flood, when all the mankind had united against him at the Tower of Babel, God changed the orders. He makes different administrative changes as He goes on. Let me just quickly go back to the flood. When Noah got off the boat, God told him then and there he could begin to eat meat. Real meat. I'm talking 100% beef. No more the nuts and the herbs that come off of trees and plants. He changed his administrative orders. All constantly throughout the Scripture, God is revealing things. But it's always in Scripture. You have to read the book to know what God... You don't listen to the faith healer or the Pope. Or that false apostle up there in Salt Lake City. You look to the book. You don't look to the man in the pulpit. You don't look to the preacher to be your teacher. It's the Word of God. And it's the truth that He has to give. Look at Luke 9, verse 3. And when He, Jesus, said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither a staff, nor a bag, nor bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. When He first sent out the disciples, He sent them out with what? Nothing. Nothing. Look at Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. You've got to understand that God is in the process of revelation. But when the revelation is finished and completed, there's no more to be said. It's all been said. Luke chapter 22, verse 30. 5. And He said unto them, when I sent you without purse and bag and shoes, lacked you anything? We just read about that. And what did they say? Nothing, Lord. We lack nothing. Verse 36. Then said He unto them, but now, I want you to underline those two words, but now, because those are critical. Because guess what? Things just changed. Things just changed. That's what that means. But now, he that has a purse, let him take it. And likewise, his bag. And he that has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. See, the orders just change. And the last orders supersede all other orders. Okay, look at John. Matthew, Mark, Luke. You're in Luke. Now turn to the right to John. Let's look over at John chapter 16. I've got six more minutes. I think we can do this. John chapter 16. I want you to see this progressive idea, this revelation that comes, because this is going to move us right into what truth is for today. And don't forget, remember those two words. What were those two words? But now. I saw a guy on TV, he did this. He said, now repeat after me, but now. Let's everybody repeat after me. But now. Remember those two words, because the administrative ways of God's just changed after those two words. Look in chapter 16 and verse 12. Our Lord, when He was here in His flesh and He was talking to His disciples, He said in verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Nevertheless, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. You see, there are things that they couldn't understand at that time. There are things that He couldn't give to them at that time. There was a revelation that was going to come at a later time, and it was going to be given to them by the Spirit of truth, who was going to guide them into all truth. Now, you think, well, my goodness, this is, this Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, this is the truth. It has truth. It has truth. Remember, Mac used to teach, he said, there's dispensational truth and then there's eternal truth. There was a time when God said, this will be all that you'll eat. This is your meat, that which comes from trees and plants. But then He said, no, here's your meat now. He changed. For us to claim that, no, I'm going to be a vegetarian because God said I gave you trees and herbs and plants and bushes, and that's your meat. For us to claim to be vegetarians today is to follow old orders, not new orders, because God's now said, but now, but now. All through the Acts period. If you study the Acts period, you can come on Sunday night, we're having a great study in the Acts right there. We're studying the Acts and we're finding out in the Acts period that all the things that Paul talked about, well, turn over there. Go over there to Acts 28. He said all the things he talked about were from Moses and the prophets. He didn't give them any new revelation. He told them all the things that could be found in the Old Testament. In Acts 28. Notice, this is what he says when he gets, see, Acts is a historical period of the time from the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ until the end time historically of God's dealing with the nation of Israel. That's why in chapter 28, verse 20, Paul says, for this cause, therefore, have I called for you, who's that? The leaders of the Jews, to see you and to speak with you, because for the hope of Israel, I'm bound with this chain. And in verse 23, when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him into his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning until evening. No new revelation there. He just went right back to the first part of the book. And he began to expound unto them the plan and the purpose of God, because there's no but now in between. There's no but now. That's why at the beginning of Acts in chapter 1, verse 6, the disciples said, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom unto us, unto Israel again? And so that's why here at the end, there's no but now. But there is a change in administration, because after the close of the Acts period, God began with seven prison epistles writing a new administrative orders. These are the new marching orders. How do I know that? Turn to Colossians chapter 1. And this is what God wants you to know. So remember in our reading this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, It is the will of God that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. And notice in in Colossians chapter 1, Paul says in verse 25, he says, speaking of the church, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That word fulfill means, it's the word pleromo, to fill to the full. It's completed. So we see the word of God is completed. Paul says it right now, right there. And look in verse 26. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations. What are those next two words? I didn't hear you. But now. You see the key? I mean, you see how that is a perfect example? But now is made manifest to His saints. Now, just think about that. Just, I mean, I'll end with this, okay? It's time. I'm getting better. I've got 1 minute and I still, I've still got a story I want to tell you. But now, it's made manifest to His saints. Now it's made manifest to saints. God has something particular, something special to manifest to His saints. That should make your ears perk up. That should make all of God's people think about it. He's got something for you. Something special for you that has never been known before. It was hidden from the ages, that's time and generations, from people. You can't go into the front part of the book and find it like you could with you were dealing in the Acts period when He said He expanded on all things that came from Moses, the law, and the prophets. But now He has something for you. It's the truth for today. Because it's the last marching orders for today. But now He wants to make something manifested to you. If you got a phone call and God, would you perk up? That's a crude illustration, I know. But would you not perk up if you answered the phone? It was God. And He said, I've got something for you. Man, ears to hear with, eyes to see. I want to know what it is. That's what He said right there. He said, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and generation, but now is made manifest to His saints. Oh, we need to listen. We need to have eyes that see and ears that hear. I heard there was a man that went to the doctors and he's talking to his doctor. He's getting his physical checkup. And he said, Doc, I think my wife's got a problem. The doctor said, what is it? He said, well, she's got a hearing problem. She doesn't hear too well. He said, well, go home and test it out and then let me know before we set up an appointment or anything. So the man went home and that night he was standing about 20 feet behind her and he said, honey, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. So he got up about 10 feet behind her. He said, honey, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. He got up 5 feet behind her and said, honey, what's for dinner? She didn't say anything. He got right behind her. The fourth time, he says, honey, what's for dinner? She turned around and said, for the fourth time, I've told you it's chicken. Now, who's got a problem? Who's got a problem? We need to have ears that hear, don't we? And we need to have eyes that see. And we need to realize we're in a war. But God's equipped us. God's given us everything that we need. We just need to realize it's not the strength of our own might. We need to put on His armor. And we just looked at the truth. Now, that's the girdle you need to put on. You put on the truth, we'll deal with the breastplate of righteousness and the shoes that are shod with peace, the gospel. We'll look at all the others. I hope next week we'll get to them. But let's pray now. Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, that Your love extends not just to salvation, but beyond salvation. It extends to giving to us the written Word, the completed Word, so that we, Father, might know all truth and that which You have given to us, that You want to build us up and strengthen us so that we might be able to stand in the evil day. We're not to be ignorant of that. Oh, Father, may each heart and each mind here today recognize that there's a war going on. May Your Spirit, Father, take the things of Christ, the Spirit of truth, and lead us into all truth. And may we never be ashamed. May we never, never be ashamed of what You have given to us personally. We thank You for that in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. His name is
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.